guess we can start. You have a question? You just take this and keep it near you like this and pass it back when you're done. Okay?
I'm sorry, first of all, my first desire was to see you because I heard so many lectures and in my university I'm here traveling downtown and I just want to hear some guitar about glories traveling downtown Radha Kunda.
Guitar about the glories of Radha Kunda.
Glories of Srimati Radharani and about our mood for
it's like usually this is just short questions and answers. Each one of these is a long, long subject. The glories of Radha Kunda, the glories of Radharani. It's like we've written whole books about that.
General question about mood in which we should be should live at Shivan downtown.
Yeah, I can't hear so well. You're saying you live in Vrindavan?
Yes.
So you're asking, you're living in Vrindavan and you want to know what is the mood? With what mood or feeling should you live in Vrindavan? Is that, that's like short of the question. The other thing, okay. So, the devotee's asking a question. If one is living in Vrindavan, what is the mood or the Vrindavan mood, the proper mood or thinking or feeling to carry within one's heart and mind while living in Vrindavan? We have these Facebooks, Vrindavan Experience and the Dust of Braj and many articles about Vrindavan. But actually living here, the first feeling one has, if he's living here, he always remembers my visiting here or my living here is a privilege, it's a gift, given by Radharani and given by Krishna. I don't know why or how. I certainly have not done anything, any service, or given any charity, or done any sadhana, or performed any austerity by which I may gain the result, or the fruit, or the benefit, or the privilege of living in Vrindavan. Somehow it's called kripa, mercy. Mercy, the very meaning of the word kripa, or mercy, it means no cause. If there's a cause, then it's not mercy. Like, my father is giving me money. That's not mercy. He's your father. Fathers are supposed to give their children money. So that's not causeless. There's a cause. Why are you getting money? Because you have a relationship with your father. He's not giving money to every child, only to you. So there's a cause. But Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy, Vaishnava's mercy, there is no cause. You can't buy it. You can't buy it. You can't do anything to get it except pray and hope. And if you're fortunate, you get mercy. So the first feeling and mood one has here is that somehow or other, I don't deserve this fortune. I don't deserve this great privilege and gift. But somehow I'm living in Vrindavan. You're translating? By ESP? You're just thinking and it's going there?
I see when he understands and when he doesn't understand.
You can sit closer and whisper in her ear if you want. You know, it's okay. Some people, they don't even look at me. They just, you know, so it's okay. So the first mood of living in Vrindavan is that one of gratitude. Do you understand this word, the meaning of gratitude? feeling grateful, and grateful to Guru, grateful to Krishna, grateful to Radharani. Oh, why me? And how? How is it possible? I'm born in a Western country, far from India. I have no culture and no proper upbringing like a Hindu or like an Indian. But here I am. Even Indians that live in India and Maharashtra or other parts of India, they're very fortunate. They have very high birth, oftentimes good birth, Brahmin, Kshatriya. And they're handsome and beautiful and wealthy and educated. But they're living in Delhi or Bombay or Ahmedabad or anywhere, but they're not living here. Even though they're born in this country, they're Indians. They don't need visa. They don't need passport, visa, permission. They're born here. They can walk to Vrindavan. They don't need airplane. They can walk free. We have to spend money to come. We can't walk. We can walk also, but great difficulty. But they don't live here. Why? No mercy. I'm not very complicated. I'm very simple. So it's mercy. We're grateful. So that you're carrying with you. It's just like you don't. Just like sometimes if you go in the West. I mean, I haven't been there so long, but if you go in the West, you may put on regular clothes. You may go to work. You maybe have a job. You put on a pants and suit and whatever, dress and blouse, and go to work, and there's no tilak and maybe no neck beads. So you're working in office, ordinary, materialistic person. But inside you're carrying the identity. I am Krishna Das, I'm Krishna Dasi. This is your identity. It's always there, wherever you go. You're with your, in the office, they're joking, they're speaking prajapa, news, politics, sports, boys, girls, adventure, Bollywood, Hollywood. And you talk this, that. But inside, you never forget, I am a devotee. I my identity. So it's with you wherever you go. You're in the office, you're in a go to office party, and you're there, but you're not really taking part because you think, I'm a devotee. Oh, you want some whiskey? No, I don't take. You don't say, well, I'm a devotee, I don't take. You say, no, I don't take. And so I take some ginger ale or 7-Up or fruit juice, whatever. So this is the same thing. When you're in Vrindavan, you're living in Vrindavan, you're not walking around all the time, oh, I'm grateful. I'm so thankful. But otherwise, you have to pay attention. There's cars, you have to look. But it's a feeling. It's like you said, what is the feeling? This is a mood that you're always feeling, I don't deserve this. This is kind of inside, in your heart. Mind is thinking, there's a motorcycle, be careful, you get run over. Your mind is thinking and your senses are working. I'm going to the sabji market in Vrindavan, Radhika, and I'm buying sabji. Hey, too much, 5-10 rupees. So that's, you're doing what you have to do, your karma, your activity. But inside, you're always thinking, I'm so fortunate. So that's why this concept called aparad means that which displeases, makes someone unhappy, or makes someone uncomfortable. That's called aparad. Aparadha, against the pleasure, against the happiness. So it's not so much, it's not even speaking loudly, or it's not even being angry at another devotee. It's the attitude. It's the bhav, it's the feeling that determines, is this aparad or is this not aparad? Even he might yell at the devotee, hey, why are you stupid? You did like this. You may even slap. But not out of envy, not out of hatred. So it's not an aparad. So this attitude is very important. That so when you're grateful, then the next feeling that comes is respect. You're very respectful. Trinadapi sunichena tarorivasahishna amanina amanidena kirtaniya sadari Amanidena, man adena, man, you show respect to others. So you're very respectful to the Brijvasis. They're very fortunate, and you're respectful. You're grateful, you're respectful. And then your other mood is a mood of, because Vrindavan is a mood of, you develop a mood of tolerance. Tolerance that, okay, whatever happens, whatever is happening, or whatever happens to me, is a small price to pay for the great privilege and fortune of living in Vrindavan and doing bhajan in Vrindavan. In our shastras, I can't quote the exact verse, but there are verses that say if you live in Vrindavan and do bhakti, japa, kirtan, shastra study, hearing harikatha, brikama, tulsi puja, darshan, many, many limbs and activities of bhakti. If you do bhakti in Vrindavan, you get 100 times increased benefit. 100 times, even 1,000. And although some acharyas, they may say or they may write, oh, and if you do offenses in Vrindavan, you get 100 times the punishment, or you get 1,000. That's not written. Some guru or acharya, he may say that to his disciples, because they may read, oh, Prabhupada, you get so much benefit. Even Prabhupada wrote in one letter to one sannyasi who was serving in India, and maybe India or Vrindavan, maybe even just India, I forget, in letters. And he didn't want to serve in India anymore. He was too much. It got too much for him. He was preaching, a sannyasi, traveling preaching. He wanted to go back to America. So Prabhupada wrote to him, maybe Achyutananda Swami before, 1970s. You want to give up your seva in India and return to America. But you should know that 1 year preaching in India, I think it was India, in Bombay and other places, one year doing service or preaching in India is equal to 10 years of preaching or doing service in Ukraine or Russia or America outside of India. So that's the power. So it's a very, very powerful place. So then we're grateful and we're respectful to all the Brijvasis, and we're always in this mood of humility, and we're always praying. The mood of prayer is, we talk about praying in the West and we talk about prayer, but there's so much rajagun and so much movement and racing everywhere. Not many people, not so crowded this year. But the idea to live with every moment surrounded by the feelings of prayer, that's possible in Vrindavan. When you're just walking, you can immediately turn to prayer, because everywhere in the atmosphere is Krishna and Radha's name. The flavor, the sound of their name, and the flavor and the feeling of their pastimes is in the atmosphere. You know atmosphere? The air. Oh, Radharani, I'm in Vrindavan. You live in Vrindavan. Now I'm sitting on this rickshaw. I'm going to Radharaman. And I'm going along. And I'm seeing, this road to the right from Fogalashram. This road goes to Davanalakund. And Davanalakund is where Krishna and all that's where the gopis first express their purva rag. This is in Ananda Vrindavan, Champu, it's in English. After Kaliya, Krishna vanquished Kaliya's serpent, then everyone was too tired from running all the way from Nandagram, Varsano Yavat. The mothers, fathers, everybody ran down the Kaliya Daha to the Yamuna near Keshika, Kaliya Daha, to find Lala, to find Krishna, who they thought was finished by Kaliya. So they're very tired, and it was late at night. It was in the evening time. So Nanda Maharaj said, "Let's go nearby here, and we'll all camp." So they're all camping near that area, Davanala Kund. Davanala means forest fire. Nala, N-A-L-A, is a name for Agni. Dava means forest. Davanala. Samsara Davanala Lira Loka. And you know this. So Samsara Davanala Lira. Davanala. It's like Davanala. Davanala Lira. Very beautiful. Sanskrit. Vishnu Chakravarti. Samsara Davanala Lira Loka. It's very beautiful. Lila Lula Lila Lu. Samsara is very beautiful. So Davanala means forest fire. So they're all sleeping Brijvasis. All the men were on one side, and Krishna was there, all surrounded by Nanda Baba, coward boys Nanda Baba. And then there was some guards, and then there was Nanda Baba. Then there were other guards of Vrishabhanu and Chandrabhanu and others. And then on that it's like this line. This is all gopas and Krishna, and that one is all gopis. So Radharani said all gopis are there. And then middle of the night there's a big forest fire. And that there's a kund there to commemorate that. So they said, "Oh, what's happening here? You know, there must be a friend of Kansa or a friend of Kaliya. He sent someone out of revenge to burn us all up." So then Krishna, you know, he swallowed the forest fire. So that's Dhamma. So you're just riding on the rickshaw, and you remember that because you're in Vrindavan, that, oh, this street goes there, and I went there, and this pastime. And then you're remembering Krishna's Leela, and you start praying, "Oh, when could I see this? At late at night, before that forest fire, everyone fell asleep, and Krishna was very restless. Because he knew that although he's a very young boy, and he was only maybe 7 or so, 6, 7 years old, but he had already fallen in love with Radha. So he said, "Oh, very near, Radharani is very near here. I never talked to her before." So Krishna's restless, so then he sat up and he stretched like this, everyone was lying on the ground sleeping. He was sitting up, all the gopas. Then next to him there was all Chandrabhanu and Brishabhanu and Subhanu and all the coward ladies and Chatila, Kutila, Radharani, Mukara, all the Brijvasi ladies and gopis, elderly and younger gopis were just next door. They were all sleeping. So when Krishna stood up, then somehow Radharani, she understood that she was also restless. She also woke up about 1 o'clock, and she stretched, and she looked, across to all the gopis and everyone around that was surrounding her, and Krishna looked, and they saw each other. So that happened at Davanala Kund, a very sweet exchange. That's called Purva Rag, prior, beginning, falling in love. So when one is just riding on a rickshaw to see Radharaman coming from Ramanreti, where many devotees live, maybe you don't live there, but just to give you an example, then he goes by that street, by Fogal Ashram, then he goes further, then he goes by Nidiban, the road goes like this, after Loy Bazaar, he sees the street, the Nidiban, so the whole time he's in Vrindavan, has that mode of humility, respect, gratitude, prayer, and remembrance of Krishna's Leela. So this is the way to live in Vrindavan, with these modes and these thoughts, these meditations. So you have all these guidebooks to Vrindavan, maybe even in Russian, I don't know. Guidebook to Vrindavan, guidebook to Radhakund, guidebook to Govardhan. So you look at that over and over again, then you go visit, then you know these places. So then they just like, you know, if you go to Russia, you know where your house is, and you know where your school is, and you know where the market is, and you know where the stores are, because you live there. This street goes there, and that street goes there. So you study, you live there, you're familiar. So when you live in Vrindavan, you become familiar with all the Leela places, and they become part of you. So this is the mood, the basic mood of Vrindavan is humility, respect, and gratitude. That's the mood of living in Vrindavan.